Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's daily pre-market trade plan, which is our opportunity to be, of course, as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we can start with the presumption that this market hasn't really played out in line with our expectations, unfortunately, again. There's a resilience in the market, which is driven by a little bit of misdirection for a couple of reasons. Firstly, the Fed, we have this higher rate for longer narrative wrapped up in a very, very dovish Fed. We have signs of inflation increasing ever so slightly, nearly everywhere you look. There's no consideration of rate hikes. That's off the table, according to the Fed. There is no chance of stagflation. That was pretty much laughed off. That was put to bed. So basically, this kind of very slow increasing of prices is not really being considered to any great extent, which does sort of lean towards, well, perhaps the Fed don't perceive inflation to be probably one of their main the screen just slipped there. Sorry, bear with me there one sec. Sorry there, guys. I do apologize. A few little gremlins in the system, I think, this morning. So really, we've got a bit of a strange kind of dynamic to these markets. I think some of the price action is kind of reflecting that. So let's get straight into it then. We'll just do our quick intro. So we'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. Now, all profitable traders, they need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. Where do we enter and exit these markets? Risk management, an important feature. We're able to mitigate a little bit of risk on our trades this week. Trade management. Sometimes when you have targets in mind, you have levels for these markets to attack. And when they don't quite get to those levels, you're left feeling a little bit frustrated. When you would really expect some continuation, and then you just these markets just kind of grind to a halt and now look like they're beginning to kind of reverse. So a frustrating market condition. We've got a little bit of a window of opportunity, in our opinion, for these markets to soften slightly, because we think they will probably sort of shift gears as we approach this US election. Now, it seems to be happening the other way around. It seems to be as if there's a strong rally in the first half and maybe a bit of softening coming in the second half. But maybe we just get, there's so much capital in the system now, maybe we just get a rally in the first half and we get a rally in the second half of the year. I mean, so yeah, we've got to keep really all our options open. Yesterday's sort of market dynamics were very mixed in nature. We weren't really able to pull the trigger on anything. Trend psychology is an important feature. And we address these considerations every day in the live trade rooms, of course, and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, being patient as well. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news. So for this, we Right. So Wednesday we had some really strong job numbers, slightly weaker job openings, and it was interesting to see Jerome Powell just pick out Jolt, say, look how good everything is, because Jolt jobs, the number of job openings are reducing. But at the same time, not really acknowledging the fact that private payroll numbers are actually increasing quite considerably. So, yeah, it's a really strong jobs market. They're looking for any kind of sign of weakness in any way, shape or form to actually, keep the gravy train going, maybe, I guess. And then we had the FOMC on Wednesday, of course. We had Jerome Powell adopt a remarkably kind of dovish, to take such a dovish stance, when in reality, what it means in real terms is higher rates for perhaps longer than everyone anticipated, including Jerome Powell. Swiss inflation ticking higher. This is some of these numbers in here are ticking higher. And manufacturing prices ticking considerably higher. Unemployment claims really solid in the US. Labor costs ticking higher. So you can see there's a bit of a theme building where there's just this slightly elevated inflation narrative beginning to creep back in. And the longer Jerome Powell messes around with the rate cut narrative, when inflation is actually getting slightly stronger, it's a bit worrying if he then goes ahead and starts to cut. He might do, because the US government did the same in the 70s. So they might come around to actually continue to cut, which would just reignite inflation. That's one of the biggest problems. Now, we roll into today. It's a bank holiday in Japan and also China. We've had some further BOJ intervention yesterday, and we may get some more today. So expect significant swings perhaps in those markets. Now, Friday, the 3rd of May, we're going to get some non-farm payroll numbers. They're really quite elevated, really strong jobs market. The unemployment rate is remaining at 3.8. Again, Jerome Powell suggests another reason why the Fed could start cutting rates would be if the unemployment rate got up to like 4.2. So we're looking for signs of weakness to kind of support the Fed in any way, shape or form. And we don't really have any of those signs. So it's a bit surprising to see the market react the way that it is, but it is what it is. So there's an awful lot of capital in this system, and it's evident. And all Jerome Powell wants to do is just refocus that capital on a rolling basis and continue that. So that's at 1:30 today, very significant news event. So just a quick commentary on the bond yields. So we've had a really quite positive reaction to in the bond market. So prices for bond yields rising, yields dropping, which we would expect would be favorable for the equity markets. And that's on the front end. So we're getting a slowing on the front end. Now, it's our expectation that we will rally again, especially if we get a strong jobs market, especially if we get inflation continuing to tick in higher. So we get that through in under 2 weeks. So let's get up the charts, because there's a couple of important points to make. And let's focus on, well, the S&P. Look at the rally yesterday. The choppiness of Wednesday night was something you just want to stand back for. And today, now we saw the rally consistently kick in. Now, one of the reasons for that strong rally, and let me share it with you, is Apple earnings coming through after hours. So you can see the previous quarter was really kind of elevated, and it was just below 120 billion in terms of revenue, right? Massive numbers. Now, look at the revenue size in here. It's 90 billion. So for all intents and purposes, there's a 30 billion reduction in revenue. Now, a lot of that is to do with the lower revenue coming from China. But in terms of percentage terms, we're 25% down on the previous, roughly 25% down on the previous revenue numbers. And something similar as well on the earnings per share. But because the Apple announced a massive buyback, a share buyback announcement, because they've just got more money than they could ever know what to do with, and they decided to buy back some shares with that, the market rallied on a really to a significant level, and as a result, dragging all the equity markets with them. So the strong rally as well from the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones as well. So some of these markets are now in kind of interesting positions. If we break for the S&P 500, if we break the 5122, that really could be a bit of a game changer for us in terms of our directional bias, which is currently a little bit more bearish than it is bullish. Because the markets are kind of ignoring anything that's kind of negative, and it's just exclusively focusing on what is actually quite positive. And there is positives and negatives to these markets. So we're in a bit of a sort of quite a choppy little phase really right now. And our expectation, I mean, we'll come on to the end in just a second, but our expectation is for still, this is, if we're going to get some weakness in these markets, you know, perhaps May and June is probably the time when we will get that corrective move. As we get closer to the election, we'd expect that to be a little bit more positive for financial markets. A little bit of a boost for the incumbent going into that election. So elsewhere, commodities. Again, it has been our bias for the dollar to strengthen, and what's going on in gold market in the gold prices suggests that certainly there's quite a strong technical move to the downside below the 2291. That's below the 2300. So we'll see if we get some further momentum there. If we look at crude oil, we've had a bit of a good rally to the downside this week. We're probably expecting kind of further progress. Yesterday we did roll over, but we've got this strong support level and it ended a little bit of an indecisive manner. But look at the level, it's a strong support level, so it kind of needs to navigate this little area here. Yes, we are seeing improvements in the Middle East with this ceasefire and the US looking to force Hamas into agreeing to those terms. So we'll see how that plays out. And then moving on to the big one, the US dollar. So where are we at with this US dollar? We don't really know. I mean, certainly if we start breaking new highs, our expectation could really quite shift. We're only getting further softening in the dollar yen. So there's a bit of dollar weakness there. If it comes down into these lower levels, it could give us an opportunity to start buying at these lower levels. But the intervention is the problem. Dollar weakness so far against the Swiss franc. This is the sort of week we had. We had some indecision at the beginning of the week. We had a strong rally. And then we spent the last 2 days kind of reversing that really strong rally. And now we are back to where we begin. And we'll see if we get further upside here. So we're still in a few of these trades. But the price action is really, really quite choppy for the week. So we're quite close to both type of trades. We're quite close to the structural failure trade back to the upside, which means the dollar weakness trade. But we're also, you know, for now, still sticking with the dollar strength trade until that dynamic begins to shift significantly. So look, we are making, I suppose the BOJ are having some success. We rallied from 171 down to 164. Pound yen, same strong rally off the highs. This is pure intervention. This is not sort of, you know, maybe there's a shift in the yen dynamics. Not really. We still have the interest rate dynamic playing out for the BOJ, which is heavily in favor of yen weakness, but we're getting the intervention from the BOJ to kind of strengthen the yen a little bit against other currencies. And we're having a little bit of joy. However, you know, it would appear on the surface that the BOJ would need to keep doing it. And that's the question. How long will they stick to this plan for? That's the difficult one. So, so crude oil. We certainly like a little bit more clarity when we trade these financial markets. And we really, like, look at this W formation. It's pretty messy where we came down, we literally bounced off the previous low. We rallied, we broke new highs, and we ran into this resistance level one more time. And our expectation is for further downside. So it is a mixed bag. We kind of want to keep our options open. And I think that's going to be the ultimate takeaway, really. We need to call it as it is, which is quite a mixed market dynamic. There's a bit of a lack of clarity for us as we're going into today's. So yesterday we were talking about a surprisingly dovish FOMC when inflation is ticking. We could be seeing inflation tick dangerously higher, but the Fed are just intent on just sitting on their hands and just perpetuate the rate pivot narrative. They're desperate to start cutting rates. I'm really not sure where that desperation comes from. So unfortunately, today's trade plan, we're looking to keep all options open. We've got a mixed dynamic. You see, if we keep all options open and we get, I suppose, job numbers that are that we can act upon, then we're not overly kind of stuck to any particular position. Some of these dollar pairs, we could actually get structural failure trades to the upside in markets like the euro dollar and the New Zealand dollar and a few other sort of dollar pairs. And we want to be able to look to buy the dollar if we get the opportunity, but also sell the dollar if we get the opportunity. And we're in this little sort of quite a choppy trading week, all in all. So bear that in mind. We like, unfortunately, the market summary is quite mixed in nature. Even Apple's story last night is really a positive one, when actually we've seen a, you know, 25% reduction in revenue. And we're still rallying because, you know, really they've made an announcement on buying back shares. So yeah, we've got this quite strange market dynamic, if you don't mind me saying so. Certainly we always strive for a little bit more clarity, but sometimes we just don't really have the clarity we would like. So as a result, can we keep our options open? Can we look to, if the dollar starts to weaken considerably across the board, could we look at some dollar weakness trades? Absolutely, because this was the week for the dollar to strengthen and it hasn't. So so could we look to go the other way? Absolutely. We've got the flexibility to move both ways. And that's really, when we look at risk on, risk off, it's kind of mixed in nature. There's you could argue it either way. So when it's mixed, we can be patient. And really, our trade plan for the day is we are looking to keep all options open as we await US job numbers. Okay, so there's our trade plan in the chat box. Let's switch rooms now then, guys. We'll switch over to our live trading mentorship room. We were anticipating a bit of a shift in narrative from a bit of a dovish Fed to a hawkish Fed. Not to be really. They are still saying we're very likely to stay higher for longer, but we've taken rate hikes off the table, probably prematurely, but we shall see. The Fed are still expecting rates, interest rates, to, sorry, inflation to come back to 2%. Again, we shall see. They've been wrong so far this year. Could they be wrong for the remainder of the year? Absolutely. But the markets are sort of wanting to ignore the negativity and just focus really on the positivity. Anything even remotely positive that they can get their hands on, they're looking to rally off the back of. And that creates, again, that sort of bubble dynamic as well that we were seeing in the first quarter. So will that reemerge? If so, we can look to position ourselves accordingly. We're not perma bears. We were looking for a short-term sell trade, which we got for on Wednesday and then kind of, or on Tuesday, I think it was, and then, you know, abruptly reversed Wednesday night. All right, so on that note, guys, let's keep our options open and we'll see how today plays out, and we can react accordingly, really. Great stuff. All right, then, on that note, thanks very much for joining us, as always. We'll switch rooms now, so we'll see you in the inside very shortly. If you are interested in learning how to trade, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on our website. It starts from just $59 per calendar month. And for more information, just go to the livetraderoom.com. And feel free to connect with us there through our signal service. Through our chat box. So on that note, thanks very much for joining us as always. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.